Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind. Stay tuned for a special message from Elder LaVon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power Packed Rema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaigns. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaigns.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaigns.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Good evening. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another opportunity to come before His precious people and share the Word of God. If you're listening by internet and you need to get off the internet for some reason, you can always dial 646-595-4877. Again, 646-595-4877. I am LaVon Breland, the founder of Urban Glory Campaigns and host of the Rema Remnant Radio, wherein tonight I'm coming with you live and deviating again from our lesson on doctrine to give you the monthly lesson, which is entitled Cultivating Divine Realities. And I am just ecstatic about the things that the Lord has purposed. Would you give me a second just to kind of get my notes up? And I will be right with you, praise the Lord. I'm so excited about the Word because I know that the Word is set to change the lives of His people. And I believe that you will never be the same as a result of the Word proclaimed. Let's look to the Father and give the Lord assisted in to tonight's deliberation. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made and we rejoice and are glad. I thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. Give you praise, honor, and glory, Father, for your word. And it's the authority of your word that I dare proclaim the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. I ask for the Holy Spirit to give us clear articulation of speech and deliberation of thought tonight, continuity of subjectivity as I make known the manifold wisdoms you have set forth to reveal tonight. I ask and trust the Holy Spirit to anoint the ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. We do yield our members to obey tonight in tonight's lesson. Father, I thank you for your assistance. And it is in the name of Jesus that I do praise you and give you glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Cultivating divine realities from the inside out is our theme. And as I said last week, I was prompted by the Spirit of the Lord to really address us endeavoring to maintain spiritual advancement, to become spiritual in nature, spiritual in motive, spiritual in heart. And in doing so, we dealt with conditions that shape our motives, components needed to awaken divine realities, codes that create divine realities. We dealt with developmental tools to divine realities. And we talked about four divisive decisions that the believer must make in order to exist in the continuum of divine realities. In doing so, I want to take you back to those 4 points. And in those 4 points, I stated, number one, that you must choose to never allow divisive issues to dictate avoiding obeying the directives of God. And then number two, I told you that you must determine in your heart to always yield to the will of God concerning his kingdom. Thirdly, I told you that you must discipline all divine endeavors to display the excellency of Christ. And in doing so, fourthly, we concluded that we must depend on the wisdom of the Spirit of God to exist consistently in his love. Now, I want to pick it up there tonight as we continue to expand the volume of this study on cultivating divine realities. I would also like to remind you of the scriptural background and nature of this teaching, which takes us to the two places the word divine is discovered in the New Testament, both indicating a relationship with the Lord Jesus to a point that we will go beyond the norm. In Hebrews chapter 9, of course, Hebrews is what I call the affirmation of faith, the book of the affirmation of our faith, which gives the motive, the means, the missions to why we believe what we believe and the glory of what has caused it to stay throughout the continuum of time. And in Hebrews chapter 9, we see that there was divine services that were given as a result of the priestly responsibilities to offer sacrifices to the Lord for sins once a year in the holiest of all, and how God used the tabernacle to point to the necessity of us existing in righteousness to commune with him. And then we said from this point that Jesus went into the holiest of all one time, and in that one selfless act, he caused eternal redemption to make itself applicable to anyone who calls upon his name. And that is a great task that the Lord Jesus had. With that being understood, Peter, at a mature state in the Lord, began to see that we are partakers of this divine nature, that this is not just a comprehensive religion, if you will. Judaism had its perks, but embodying Christ was even better. I took you to the example of Jesus giving the parable of the bread of life, that he was the bread of life, and if you didn't eat him and take him and ingest him, like John chapter 6 alludes to, that you're going to have problems entering into this type of life that God has ordained for your life. Now, generally when people talk about the divine realm, we deal with the Holy Spirit. We deal with being led by the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, allowing the Spirit to have its way. And then if you are of the Pentecostal dialect, then you bring in the importance of being filled with the Spirit with evidence to speak in tongues. And, of course, you give the doctrine of divine essence, which I believe is important, and things. And then we kind of center into the qualities of the Holy Spirit, and a lot of times we get stuck there. Divine realities are accessed again by a sovereign act of God. Now, of course, in charismatic circles and faith circles, because we know that wisdom is the principle of things, the wisdom of God, once applied and abstracted, once it's obtained, then there really is no need for, quote unquote, the sovereign will of God. And often sovereignty is used as an excuse when it comes to the argument of faith, because people believe that if you have emphasis on sovereignty, then you kind of negate your responsibilities as a believer to operate in the divine DNA, if you will, of God. Well, I took it another step further. I understood that we would get into a point where we would need to emphasize the Spirit. But in this particular lesson, because we are all ministers, we understand the importance of being led by the Spirit, but there are some basic things that I think we tend to neglect. And sometimes people can confuse their intellect with spiritual development and enhancement, and that may not be the case. You being able to work through a situation is not spiritual maturity. That's just your ability to encounter a situation, to analyze a situation, and to develop a systematic outcome of a situation. Doesn't mean that the Spirit of God was involved at all. And a lot of times I believe because critical thinking and critical analysis and deductive and inductive reasoning is so rare when it comes to people applying spirituality, that when we preach and we give a nice organized method of preaching, that we think we have existed in spiritual growth and dialogue. And that doesn't mean that's the case. You just learn how to be a good communicator. It doesn't mean that you've built yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost or communicating in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that you've had fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're missing amongst ministers. And so we need to remind ourselves again of the role and the rights and the authority and the reign of the Lord Jesus. The roles, the rights, and the reign of the Lord Jesus that affords us the privilege to get into these things that we glean from God's grace and exist in authority over the world. Why is that so? So we gave you three simple purpose, goals, and objectives. The purpose was to promote the manifestation of the divine reality habitually. The goal was to identify conditions that keeps us in sync with God. And in doing so, we would develop a pattern of consecration. Consecration is meaning a purpose pursuit to get in sync with the will of God by any means necessary. That's what you do in consecration. You pursue to align yourself to God's will by any means necessary. If that means pray more, you pray more. If that means read more, you read more. If it means get your house in order, you get your house in order. If it means fasting, you fast. If it means studying, you study. If it means going to church to more than one service, it means going to church to more services. Whatever it is for you, you want to cultivate yourself from the inside out. Let's get back to the core of our cultivation. The core of our cultivation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so with this particular teaching on divine reality, we still believe in the authority of the Lord Jesus to give us access to obtain the grace of God. And so we have to go back to Jesus. We have to go back to the privilege of having a relationship with the Lord Jesus that gives us the avenue to obtain the things of God. And that's why I took you to Hebrews chapter 9, where Jesus is the one that affords us a greater promises or a greater covenant established upon better promises. And by him, we have access into this grace that we are saved from. And then we are partakers of this divine nature as Peter had gained through maturity, but not only through this power has he given us divine power unto all things that pertain to life and godliness, but it comes through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, John 3:16. You know the love chapter. And so, and of course you know the love chapter in 13 teaches us to understand what exactly love is. God's love for the world manifested the Lord Jesus to unlock redemption for humanity. And it is through our ability to comprehend the magnitude of his love that propels us into divine maturity. And one of the things that I think with reality, when we talk about realities, it just simply means the spirit realm. I just didn't say the spirit realm, to just kind of prick out here, to give us something greater to communicate on. And most ministers do not communicate with one another about what's really going on in the spirit realm pertaining to their lives. One of my mentors said something to me greatly today when I was speaking to her, Dr. Renee Mills, and I always give credit to ministers when they give me good insights. But she said a lot of times people change, but it doesn't indicate that they grow, because growth and change are different. You always need change in order to grow. But you don't always change. You don't always grow when you have change. And so some people, they've learned to change things, glory to God, but they haven't grown in the process. But when it comes to divine realities, growth and change must be at the same level. You have to grow, and then you have to transition. You have to grow, and you have to transition. We go from glory to glory and from faith to faith. We enhance. That's changing and growth. Changing and growth. Glory to God. And that's the process that we go through. So Dr. Renee Mills gave a quintessential point in a dialogue today that I think is important for the body of Christ to really understand. Are you growing spiritually, men and women who dare proclaim the message of the sacred vocation? Or are you just simply changing and modernizing yourself with time, but not really experiencing the impact of the excellency and the consistency of God's love and the divine reality of God's and what I concluded in the last point, on the last subpoint of the last point of last lesson, was that divine realities or realms is divine love eternal. So we have to exist in divine love. Well, let's go to tonight's lesson and deal with four cultivating effects of God's love. The first thing is God loves when it reveals your identity. How does it reveal your identity? First of all, God's love will show you the power of God's forgiveness, the power of God's grace, the power of God's willingness to work on your behalf. Which is another factor of God's grace. So it illuminates you through the grace of God. It gives you the ability to comprehend what God has done to get you right with him. And in that you receive true identity, that no matter where you are, God sees you as his very own, because he loved you. He gave his own son for you. Glory to God. And sometimes ministers, those who preach on a regular basis, you need to know that God sent somebody just for you, Jesus, so that you can be in the position to fearlessly proclaim the word of God in the land of the living. Glory to God. And so God has given us the Lord Jesus as a ransom for many, for all that would call upon his name. And I'm glad about that. And we must keep abreast of that. And through his sacrificial offering, we have access into this grace where we stand. And that grace enables us to find out who we really are, what we have, what we can do, and why we do what we do. And in doing so, we begin to glean those things that we are no longer foreigners or alieners of the commonwealth of Israel, but we are fellow heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. We have come into a fellowship that keeps us affixed, affirmed, and affiliated with the Lord Jesus and Father God. We become one. We are partakers of his divine nature. So the love of God then creates an effect that cultivates, that builds us up into God's divine identity. And then it gives us divine perception. It gives us the ability to think as he would say, because we've learned to reason together with the Lord Jesus. We've learned to think all things above where Christ is seated. Why? Because his love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And we can ascend to things, and then as a result of perception, we can then actualize that perception through our demeanor and through our demonstrations. And that's really the sum total of divine righteousness. Having the demonstration and the demeanor of God himself. That when people see us, they will see the love of God's work on us and how much God works with us, how much God has transformed us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son. Glory to God. And then through that, we also can see the work of God's grace through the Holy Spirit and how much the Holy Spirit is vital to us existing into divine realities. Glory to God. And so after abstracting four cultivating effects of God's love, then we can discover four captivating areas to excel in the spirit realm. And I want to talk a little bit about this in tonight because I think it's important that we understand that there is a purpose to staying consistent in the spirit, and not just for the sake of just being a good preacher or getting money in our pocket and taking care of our needs. But number one, to understand truly the authority that is in Christ. Because if we understand the authority that is in Christ and Christ is in us, we can then exist in a greater realm of reality. We can enforce the glory in reality versus reality forcing conditions on us. Amen. And so the conditions, the authority in Christ demands us to study the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also to study what it really means to have Christ in us, what it means to live as Christ and to die to the things of the world. Glory to God. And then it also points to, secondly, the assistance of the Holy Spirit. Of course, if the Lord Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit as a comforter to lead and guide us into all truth, when we begin to excel in the things of the Spirit, we will depend upon the Holy Spirit to reveal to us how to operate confidently in the Spirit. And that's why you see a lot of magic shows going on in churches, because we have not relied on the assistance of the Spirit as to how to operate in under the power of the Spirit. And that's why under the power means that when you're really operating under the power of the Spirit, you have the influence of the Holy Spirit dictating to you through communication of the Word of God what is necessary to achieve an outcome of the intent of God. Glory to God. And so we have the assistance of the Holy Spirit. But this is another one that I think is very rare. We have the altar of righteousness. Romans 16, Revelations rather 16, points to there's an altar that is given unto every man for them to achieve and to know what it means to be right with God. And we need to always keep ourselves in a great sense of reverence, but it's not going to come until we make an altar in our hearts. And the altar in our hearts, when we're led by the assistance of the Spirit through the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, will give us a sense of righteousness. And you will see the advantage of establishing an altar of reverence in righteousness, sacrificially in right standing with God. And that has not been taught because a lot of us have not promoted the importance of being cultivated, grown into the things of God, the Spirit. And we have made coined terms to avoid from being a super spiritual. We say that we're so super spiritual that we're no earthly good. That's ignorant. How can you be superior in your spirit and not be earthly good? That is the question. Think about it. You cannot be superior in the spirit and be no earthly good. Now, I know some people get off on the deep end, but that has nothing to do with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is sent to lead and guide us into all truth. Change your confession and grow up into the things of God. Get into the things of the Spirit. Learn to pray with the Spirit. Pray so that your mind and your spirit and your intellect can communicate fruitfully. See, because when a man prays in the spirit, his mind is unfruitful. Howbeit he speaketh mysteries that edify himself. So we need to learn how to communicate, not only just when we're speaking in tongues, but existing in the flow of the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit has access to give us all things, access to knowledge of all things that pertain to life and godliness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to keep that in that. And then also atonement, how to get things right. Of course, Romans 5 hints to there being atonement of the grace of God. See, when you have grace on your life, then God corrects things. And when God corrects things, there's an amends that happens. There's an amends that transcends all knowledge through peace that allows atonement, meaning that it's not only atonement gives you an indication of there being a sound that comes out of the transaction. That when you do something, there's a sound that causes a unity that is so clear that it sets things in sync. Glory to God. And God wants to show us through the authority of Christ, the assistance of the Holy Spirit, the altar of righteousness, and the atonement of his grace, what it means to excel in the Spirit. So when we're dealing with evolving in the spirit realm and growing in the things of God, when we say that, we're getting the authority of Christ. We're getting assistance from the Holy Spirit. We're learning the altar of righteousness. That's where we've been conditioned to condition ourselves based on unrighteousness. So righteousness is still relatively new to the body of Christ. It should not be. But existing in righteousness and operating in righteousness must be learned. Because, see, we've been asked, not requested of God, to offer living sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices. Glory to God. And that still needs to be done by the fruit of our lips. The communication of our heart, the communicating of our faith. Amen. I know this is a little heavy, but I have time to process it out. Let's talk about four clashes that prevents conditioning your divine realm. First of all, you already know this one. Consumption of devotional time. I didn't discover this, but I have come to a serious conclusion. When I find that a lot of people are having trouble, especially in ministry, is because they do not have a proper or a healthy devotional time with the Holy Spirit, especially when it comes to sermonic presentations. A lot of times when they come up with points and they don't have no correlation with the overall system of how Scripture operates, it's because of the fact that they have too much things going on to really establish a healthy devotion. That's always the time. They don't give God enough time. And even in your ministries as ministers of the gospel, hear me, sons and daughters of God, that when you minister, you can get so involved into the quote-unquote business of the church that you lose sight of keeping your sickness with the Lord. And that is establishing your devotional time. So if you want to become a great deliberator of the Scripture, why don't you develop an intimate time of devotion? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so the second clash, these are clashes. These are things that are set to almost, it's like two glasses coming and smacking against each other. That lack of devotion just crashes the system. isn't it interesting? Hello, I hope you're back on the air with me. I'm sorry. Isn't it interesting how when I talk about clashes that my connection drops? But that's okay. To God be all the glory anyway. But we'll keep it going. Let's keep going and let's start that. It's fine. Let's keep it going. We're dealing with four clashes that prevents conditioning your divine realm. Number one, and everybody knows this, consumption of devotional time. Consumption of devotional time, meaning so much takes away from your time that you have set aside to spend with God to get you right. Not to get a message, but to get you right. And a lot of times, people are trying to develop in ministry concerning the things of God, and they haven't developed for themselves concerning the things of God. So that presents another problem that we're having in the church. We have ministers preaching, seeming like they're thriving in ministry, but they don't have a devotion established for their own lives. And so we need to get back to developing devotion again. Amen. Number two, another prominent factor to clashes. Clashes, like I was saying, just it's like two glasses that smack together. Clashes. Amen. But the second thing is the cares of this world. You can get so overly concerned with things that you miss what God is trying to tell you in the spirit to achieve. And we have to work that out. Don't let something that is going on in the world take you off of the agenda that God has stipulated through you, to you, for you. That's also classified under the church biz. Like I hear a lot of people jumping on Haiti. Did God tell you to get involved into the Haiti situation? Don't allow clashes to keep you from cultivating to the divine realm from the inside out. Keep your focus. Thirdly, causeless endeavors. See, when you have clashes in cares of this world and then in consumption of devotional time, then there comes things that go on that you're involved in. Get involved in associations. It could be ministers' associations. It could be events that you're going to, a whole bunch of things that you're going through the motions, and they don't have a cause to it. What's the cause? And if Christ is not the cause, then the cause is causeless in the eyes of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, this is a interesting encounter with the Holy Spirit and with this program, because these particular points are very pivotal to this lesson, because we're talking about
cultivating divine realities. But you need to understand that clashes, and just like the enemy has tried to shut down the communication twice in clashes concerning the divine realities, he does not want you to know this information. But guess what? He is not going to stop me from repeating this information until we get it. Because we need to learn this as ministers of the gospel. These things are preventing us in the spirit. And the enemy loves to distract us and to send clashes, things that make us enough sound that keeps us distorted from staying disciplined to the things of God. Now, you know, in this ministry, we're going to deal with a whole year, a whole semester of this study, of our studies this year on discipline. I'm going to talk about discipline, developing the leader within. But before we do that, we have to deal with some doctrine, because if the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? And then we're going to deal with some discipleship after that. That's going to be an exciting time, too. But the enemy doesn't want you to know this, but you're going to learn this tonight. And I'm going to go over these points again, because I don't want you to miss a tittle or a jot of what the Spirit is scribing in your ears tonight concerning your divine realities. Now, let me give you something about divine realities, and then we'll go into this part again, and then we'll go on with the lesson. And we're almost through, because I've given you a lot of information through this broadcast. And we're going to put this on a nice format so that way you can get it. And the expanded version is going to have a whole lot more things to it. And we're going to talk about cultivating your spiritual development. And you would want to get the ministry products versus just getting the download of the broadcast, because you're only getting a limited portion to the actual advancements that are actually available from this ministry. But let me say this about divine realities. Divine realities are simply what you have allowed the Spirit to reveal in your reality. And we are, see, the faith does not look, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which were seen were made by things that do not appear. And so our intent for our content is based on a substance that is set in the Spirit. And so a lot of reasons why people don't operate in faith like God wants them to operate in faith is because their intent and their content is distorted. So when substance is really there to see things that you can't see through the natural senses, you have challenges operating in the Spirit because you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that's what's going on amongst ministers. How are you going to preach to other people the Word of God and the things of God if you're not acquainted with the Spirit of God? So much so that when God said, I want you to start praying right now, where y'all stop and go somewhere and pray. He can't nudge you and say, you need to stop talking right now. Don't make that choice right now. Let it wait. Just keep moving. Now, I'm not saying because, of course, you know, I'm not saying that it has to be that precise, but I'm saying that there should come a point in your relationship that you're so keen to the Holy Spirit that if he whispers to you, you'll know what to do. Now, of course, you know, God's voice, of course, they say is a still small voice. And yes, if that's what you want to believe, that's fine. But the Holy Spirit has been sent to communicate to you. And he wants to show you a reality out of what you built and invested, supposedly, in your spirit. Are you living out of your spirit? Or are you living out of circumstances? So the reason why, there are four major reasons why there are clashes set to distort you from cultivating yourself in divine realities. Number one is the consumption of your devotional time. They want to keep you distracted from developing the hidden man in you, for you, with God. Number two, the cares of this world. concerns that the world has, wants to invade your attention so much so that you build your reality on their circumstances, what they consider as casualties, convictions, crucial things, keep you from being set. And it's clashing against your cultivating yourself in the spirit realm. Thirdly, causeless endeavors. You need to make certain that whatever you go after is based on the directive of God. Because if it's not, it's going to produce some things in your life that was never sent to happen in your life. And it's created a reality. And often reality shapes your perspectives, when really your perspective should shape your reality. But because you haven't spent enough time in the Holy Spirit to develop a superiority over reality, you have speculative perspectives conforming you into the things of this world. God wants to take us deeper, but we tend to be shallow in the spirit. And I'm not talking about getting strange and spooky. I'm just talking about taking the word as final authority. And if the word of God is final authority, and Jesus did not move until he was consumed in the power of the Holy Spirit, then what makes you think that you can go out and perform the nature and the works and the wonders of God without being consumed in the power of his Spirit? And then fourthly, clamoring confessions. See, because then your communication is skewed, it's flawed. Hallelujah. Because you haven't developed a confession based on Christ's nature, Christ's ability. Amen. Let's talk about four consecrating benefits to existing in our divine nature, because this is what's going to help us cultivate our divine realities, consecration, which I said to you at the beginning of this lesson, is the pursuit to come in sync with the will of God by any means necessary. The first benefit that consecration brings, number one, is to gain submission, power over the dictates or the divine. Let me say that again. Number one is to gain submission, power over over the world with our divine nature, especially from the dictates of the flesh. To gain submission power over the world by our divine nature, especially over the dictates of the flesh. So you get power over the flesh. You learn to submit. Number two, godliness in thought and action. Not only perceiving it, but acting out godliness. The same way God would do. And then, of course, fourthly, growth from the inside out. Grow from the inside out. Hallelujah. And I said third, that was actually thirdly, but fourthly, grace to exist and thrive in life. Grace. So you gain submission and superiority over the flesh. You become godly in thought and action. You grow from the inside out, and then you are graced to exist in life. I think. And so, in conclusion for tonight's lesson and for this subject on courageous cultivating divine realities from the inside out, enhancing for a release to the spirit. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to pray with you. I want to talk to you tonight by four courageous steps to greater realms of the Spirit. Four courageous steps. simple steps that I believe that if you start examining and addressing the Father on, he will show you how to emulate it and implement it in your life, in his nature, so that way you can achieve great exploits in the things of God, not only for the church's sake, but for you. You can be at a point in ministry that you're doing so much for so many people that you lose your equilibrium. You need to grow in the spirit every once in a while, grow up and get better. Hallelujah. And so, number one, we need to develop the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith. The God kind of faith gathers instructions from the Holy Spirit as to how to operate in faith for your life. How to operate in faith for your life. Not for the church's benefit, but to operate in faith for your life. Godliness and or the godlike kind of faith is really manifesting godliness. Faith for your life. So it grants no ground to prove to others your state of faith. You're just determined to live by faith and not by sight. Why? Because we're set to develop the God kind of faith. That is, everybody can achieve faith acting on what you believe, but whether it's under the tutelage and the instructions of God, it's going to be based on the order of God in which he set for you to develop faith. And that's by his word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How can you hear without a preacher? Everybody needs a preacher. Even the preacher needs a preacher. And a lot of preachers don't have preachers. So you're not developing it in faith. So you can't exist in the God kind of faith to minister in faith. Hallelujah. And so the God kind of faith goes after solely God's directives and only seeks to exist in God's glory because it's for God's glory. Amen. Secondly, we first develop the God kind of faith. Secondly, we need to devote ourselves to prayer. I know last year I will never lose the impression that was given to me when I began to teach on empowering the preacher's prayer life. Said to you, as I've said many times, that it was interesting to deal with the disciples' approach to knowing that they needed to enhance their prayer life. When they saw the things that Jesus had did, they knew. They needed, of course, you know, they probably would have, if they were raised in the Jewish custom, they were accustomed to praying, because praying was a part of their heritage. But they knew when they came in contact with Jesus, they need to be instructed on how to pray. Because his communion with the Father, the demonstrations of the miraculous in his life, demanded for them to grow up in things and to readdress things and to reaffirm things that they did not know. And so they knew enough to say, Lord, teach us how to pray. And then when they asked that, Lord, teach us how to pray, he said, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And he goes on to the Lord's Prayer, amen. So we need to devote ourselves to prayer. Don't let your days be without exhausting yourself in prayer. You need to be exhausted in prayer. Prayer should be so... You should be so immune to prayer that it's almost a challenge to just stay outside of fellowship with God. Determined to let the Lord speak back when you pray and wait for clarity. Don't let every prayer session just be a release of your communication. I know when you pray, you need to say. I do know that. You need to confess. But you need to also receive from God. Because God... Prayer is just like regular communication. It's a dialogue between you and God. So you need to let God speak after you speak. And then he will speak after you speak, and you can speak back, and you can go back and forth a couple of times. But don't let your prayer be one-sided where you're just giving God a ritual, praying habitually to be seen and heard by others, like Jesus dealt with the Pharisees. He had problems with that. He said, because you have your reward when you pray like that. You need to learn how to dialogue with God, praying and responding. Let God speak back to you. And then dialogue with the Holy Spirit about enhancing how to effectuate your prayer life. Because you may be doing it one way and God may want it done another. So we need to develop the God kind of faith. We need to devote ourselves to prayer. Thirdly, this is the third step. We need to develop the discipline of fasting. Fasting. Fasting is a formula that God inserts in man's agenda to advance him in hearing, perceiving, communicating, comprehending, and achieving exploits divinely. When you decide to fast, you open yourself in its purest form. You emphasize the spirit over the flesh. Simple as that. Whatever way you do that, if that means reading your Bible more, whatever way, for some people it was washing 3 times a day. You know, Jesus gave some instruction on fasting, and he also lets you know that some demon activity comes out when you fast, but it all should be stipulated by God. It's God's formula for your future benefit. So let God be the architect of your fasting agenda. Ask the Spirit to give you a detailed program for fasting and how you should relate it to the ministry that you are entrusted with. Because some fasting rituals may be for you and may never be for someone else. Don't try to make a principle out of something that is personal. Some things are just for you. Glory to God. And then fast. With the expectation. This is the part that I believe faith plays a part in our fasting, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. You need to understand that if you're going on and see if it's dictated by the will of God, then it's dictated by the word of God. So you can't be doing so much strange stuff that you're so far-fetched from the word that you're killing yourself and killing others that you're entrusted with. So there's an expectation. The expectation should be that you come out empowered by the Holy Spirit when you fast. Jesus was fasting 40 days. He was tempted of the devil, yes. But when he came out, he was empowered by the Spirit. He was empowered so that he could rot and work around through the earth for 3 years and establish the kingdom of God. Now, with him already bridging the gap of eternity into us, glory to God, what advantages and expectancy does God have of you when you fast? Because there's nothing hindering you from getting this power. And fasting will unveil a power that changes your fortune. I'm convinced of it. So deliverance often is found in the power of the clarity that is released when your plate is turned down. I tell you, we just got to do it. But we got to do it when God tells us to do it. Because fasting wasn't meant to be outside of the, just an idea that we do at the first of the year. That's a diet plan. That's not a fast. And now churches are calling fast. That's not the manner in which, I mean, there's nothing wrong with telling people to do it, but You have to be kind of careful when you go outside, because that's something that God deals with people personally about. And these are God's people. These are not our people, although we are entrusted with them. We have to be real careful how we go about that. Because you almost are writing a Bible when you give instructions to fasting. So you want to make certain that the Holy Spirit is the final authority on the objectives that you communicate to people. So we have to develop the discipline of fasting, because I believe that's a great, great, great benefit. And fourthly tonight, as I conclude, we must determine to never be found hesitating to obey the voice of God. Don't hesitate to obey the voice of God. Keep others out of your divine directives. Single your ear for clarity of the voice of God. Revelation of the word will increase reception to the voice of God. So keep your hunger for God's word. And lose everything and every person that keeps you distracted, and keep your ears open for the wisdom of God. Don't hesitate to obey the voice of God. So, I believe with this outline depicted of the Spirit, when we develop the God kind of faith and devote ourselves to prayer, develop the discipline of fasting, and don't hesitate to obey God, we're going to grow and see our reality conform to the Spirit of God. Thank you for listening to tonight. This week has been an awesome week of study. I'd encourage you to get the expanded version of this teaching. I go a little deeper into some matters. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do. I did say I would pray for you at some point in the lesson. I know it was broken up twice, but God was still glorified and the word was still brought forth in the power in which God intended it to go forth tonight. I want to pray for you specifically tonight concerning your spiritual development. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Father, I thank you for your word. It's the power of your word that provokes us to perform it. Thank you for it. Now, Father, I pray that every minister under the sound of my voice that hears this teaching will become alerted to the importance of relying on your Spirit, not only as a scapegoat, but as that mechanism that keeps you in sync with the things of God. I pray that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding would abound in their hearts, that they would grow into your nature and into your ways. Thank you, Lord, for tonight's lesson. And I pray that everything that you have planned for their lives, they will achieve with your assistance, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do, because greater is he that lives within you than he that's within the world. This is LaVon Brill and founder of Urban Glory Campaign, host of Rainbow Remnant Radio, believing and knowing that you will have a great night. Good night. God bless you. Bye-bye.